you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM, KMOX. And with the cleanup happening now after the storms on Friday, we welcome in, as part of the cleanup effort, local lumberjacks and contestants on The Amazing Race. They've been in a couple. This is the third time in studio.
Yeah.
Jeff and Pops Bailey with us now.
You're going to have to join the union soon.
Yeah, that's right. You come in here this month.
Yeah. I told security we need a key fob.
That's right.
I feel weird ringing the doorbell. This is
right,
home.
Right.
What do you mean? You don't know me already?
Right.
Been here so often.
Yeah.
So both of our friends here, Jeff and Pops Bailey, have their own tree services, Green Thumb Tree Services and Econo Tree. And in a time like this, I mean, there in my neighborhood, there are trees down everywhere. I know the Central West End wasn't the worst of it. They did get some of it. It was much worse north and northeast of there.
Yeah.
So what's the, first of all, for guys like you who do this work, what is the process like? What's the first thing you do?
The first thing you do is you assess what's going on at your house. Are you talking about from our standpoint or from a resident? Like, what should they do?
Well, from your standpoint.
Oh, from our standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We just go hit the streets. Like, Friday night after the storm had happened, I just kind of drove around and just looked at what was going on, trying to see what the worst hit areas are. I didn't even see what was going on deep in North City that night. But we just want to know where it's happening at. And then our phones, of course, are going to start ringing. We're getting so many calls, and geographically it's not in order, right? Like, so we're going to get a call, Central West End, Clayton, North City, everywhere. But then we have to prioritize based on who has emergencies. So it's like, do you have a tree down? Okay, the tree is down in your yard. It's not laying on your house, not
right.
laying on a structure. It's not causing any issues. Okay, we'll get to you, but we have to get this tree off of somebody's car or somebody's house. A young lady needed to take her dad to dialysis and the car was blocked into the driveway. So, you know, things like that, we're going to come running to do those things first. After that, we have so much experience with insurance companies and things like that. We help people figure out what their resources are.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Yeah, that's the next step. What are your resources? What can you do to make sure that you're covered to get this stuff done? Believe it or not, though, yesterday it was all about volunteering because there's so many people that don't have those resources. A lot of people don't have insurance. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what you and I were talking about off the air.
Yeah.
The neighborhood I live in, look, a lot of the folks there, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're doing okay. Maybe their houses may not be, but they'll be able to figure it out financially. There are people who are in parts of the city who just don't have that.
They don't have it.
So that's difficult for them.
It's difficult. And so you'll see in a lot of those neighborhoods, like you said, where they have the resources, you're going to see a bunch of tree companies. And if you look at the side of the truck, you can see a lot of them aren't from St. Louis. They come in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's welcomed because we need as many people as we can. But those, when you see those companies, those people have the resources, the money, the insurance to pay them to do the work. So they come from miles and miles away. It's business, right? So they come. We have tree companies that are rooted right here in St. Louis. And I think our first instinct, like I said, is to just get out and help. There is a business side to it, and that will come later, right? Like, you know, the people that, but right now, yesterday was just nothing but 100% volunteering, you know.
Yeah.
And Jeff, like you were saying, I mean, you really did. You had your truck, you have your equipment, you have your chainsaws. And not only that, like that you're volunteering, but I don't have that equipment. I don't have that skill set. I don't know how to move a tree. And you threw all your stuff in your truck. You drive to North City and you were helping do what so many volunteers couldn't do because they don't have the skills or the equipment. So, and not only that, but I saw you, I watched you talk to other volunteers saying, what needs to be done right now? What is the most important thing? What, you know, what tree, what this, to make sure that main thoroughfares are cleared, to make sure people can get to where they need to go. Like you said, a tree in the backyard, not important right now. Let's focus on what's important.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for all of that volunteer work. I mean, you were ready to go.
Thank you. And I thank you for coming down there with us. You got your hands dirty too. Put on your gloves and you told everybody to put on the mask, right? There were so many people walking around with no masks, and you brought that thought down there, and I think that you might have saved some lives with that, because you don't know what is in the air. That's another thing. You don't know what's floating around in the air down there from the fiberglass and just the
asbestos
stuff that,
and they're older
asbestos,
buildings.
Everything.
Yeah.
Those are older buildings, and everybody just wants to go down there and dig in and help, but you don't know what's in the air. So if you got masks, if you have access to them, put them on. Or if you're not down there and you have a whole lot of masks, bring them down there and donate them to those volunteers, because it's very important that people are covering up their respiratory systems.
And also, Jeff, you were with a good friend, a childhood friend was helping to coordinate.
Yeah.
And so you talk about being local and knowing the area. That street that you were on, that we were on, was so many seniors.
Yeah.
So many older St. Louisans living in those buildings. And so your friend, who was she coordinating with?
So my childhood best friend, his grandmother lived right in that house that we parked in front of down there. All those houses over there are just senior citizens. Mm-hmm. I've known all of them since I was like a young teenager. Really good people. His fiance was coordinating pretty much the whole neighborhood. Mm-hmm. All the youth, all the other grandkids and kids of these senior people came down to help. Then, as you could tell, a lot of those people that were helping aren't from that community. They came from all over the place as soon as they saw on the internet what was going on. So what that goes to show is, for you guys to come down there and help out and bring attention to that neighborhood, that's going to bring in so many people. And people are the most important resource. And if they can come down there and grab their snow shovels out of their garage and come down there and help scoop up debris and put it in the dumpsters, as you saw people doing yesterday, that's going to make all the difference, right? So what somebody like myself brings to the table, or anybody else that has like a skill, if Pops comes down there too, is leadership, right? Like you said, directing people. We're going to bring equipment and chainsaws, and you know, hopefully we can get a bobcat down there to help bring that stuff up. But you have hundreds of people that are down there willing to help. They just don't know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has a skill set, you come down there, you do the work too, but you also delegate and you let these people know what needs to be done in what order.
Yeah, Jeff and Pops Bailey are with us on KMOX.
And I'll just reiterate, like you said, stuff you don't think of. If you have N95 masks to donate, it's dangerous down there with some of the, you know, like you said, the asbestos or mold or whatever's in the air. You don't know.
You don't know.
So for the volunteers, for residents, you know, people who are in that neighborhood, that's their community, if you have N95 masks to donate, let's get them out there for people.
Very important. Very important.
So this work, I mean, you're no stranger to... The trees are your business, right? To handle stuff like this. Usually it's not disasters, though. So when you've seen the damage, you've surveyed it already, how long are we talking to get most of this cleaned up?
And see, we're talking about cleanup, right? So I don't even have the ability to assess as far as rebuilding, because I don't even know how to build a house or what needs to happen to those houses. But as far as just cleanup, months for sure, months. And that's just based off of resources. Like there are jobs down there that can be multiple days, 2 or 3 days, just to get this tree off this house and this, you know, all of that type of stuff. But then you got to think of how many companies do we have to go down there. 70% of the companies that I've seen here doing the work, they follow the storms. We're not going to be the last place to get hit. So when those guys are gone, you know, to the next storm, or if a hurricane comes down in Florida or something like that, we're one of the companies that are, like I said, rooted in St. Louis, that are going to still be here helping out and cleaning up the trees that are left. And I would say months. I could see some of this stuff still being down early next year, just based off of everybody getting around to it.
Well, Pops, how do you getting a tree down from a standing position is one thing. How do you get it off a house?
Well, I was about I was about to say, well, we definitely have to get it off the house by, sometimes we use a crane, sometimes you got to get on a roof and cut and just keep throwing a piece, because usually when it falls, the trunk of it is leaning up against the house and everything else is up in the air over the house. And we have to get there first because the adjusters, the insurance company, they can't do anything. They can't assess anything until we get that tree off that house. So once that's done, I mean, it's, they can get, that's how quick you can get the situation moving, for as getting done and moving to another tree.
And some of these trees are 100 years old.
They're huge, like four feet across.
So you see a lot of that. And the key is you have to get it off the house or get it off whatever structure without causing further damage to it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just something that just anybody can do. Sometimes you can use a crane. Sometimes you can't get a crane over to where it's at. So you have to, it takes a lot of ingenuity. It's like we are, in our own ways, like engineers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. When we look at that tree and we figure out what we have to do, it's a lot that goes into it that just... lifelong preparation, I believe.
Yeah, no, I watching some of the recovery efforts and the methods where I look at it, I'm like, well, that's impossible. Like the angle of the house and the street and the building, I'm like, well, you can't get that. And then the way that people, they angle the trucks and the cranes and then they cut and they chop it up, it is 100% problem solving.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a skill set I don't have. I mean, it takes a lot of experience. One thing I was intimidated by around the area were all the power lines, and there were so many down, and you turn down one street or another. How do you guys go about, you know, removing trees from major thoroughfares or key areas, and then also dealing with power lines? Because I was, you know, it's kind of scary to see all those power lines down.
Yeah, so to alleviate the fear part of it, most of it has been turned off. But my advice is assume that every power line that you see is hot. Assume it. Don't step on it. Don't touch it. Don't try to move it anywhere. Nobody should touch an electric wire except an electrician or an amarant worker, period. We're tree workers. We work around them all the time. We don't touch them. Even if amarant stands there, shakes my hand and says, hey, we just cut that power line off. Go ahead and cut the tree. That doesn't mean I'm about to go grab the power line and move it on the fence or something. I'm not touching it. None of us are certified to do that. And touching a hot live wire is as bad as you could possibly think.
Is that the greatest danger in doing it, or are there others?
The greatest danger in cutting the trees?
Yeah.
There are others. Touching a power line, I guess, is the quickest way to cause damage to yourself. But, I mean, when we're cutting, sometimes we're standing. If we're getting some off a house, we're not always up and over it. Sometimes we have to be down and under it.
Yeah.
Right? You make the wrong cut at the wrong angle, and something can fall on you. I volunteered yesterday at the Annie Malone Crisis Center, and it was a bunch of people helping out, right? They were the Omega Phi. It was the cute dog. I always mess up when I say the name, and I don't want to mess it up.
From Umzel.
Yeah, exactly. So they were there helping out with the cutting and everything. And the most important thing that I had to do was say, okay, don't stand right there. Stand over there. Because as we're cutting, I know which way things are going to fall. And they don't. They could be standing 10 yards away from something, and it'll look like that's going to fall here, but I'll say move, and it's going to fall right there. So it just takes that. It takes knowing that, too. That's probably the most dangerous part.
Pops, you ever had any near misses?
Any near misses?
Yeah.
And like your question earlier, that's the most dangerous part, even a tree that's standing up. Because sometimes we got to go on the other side of the power lines because the tree is growing over there. Yeah. You got to know exactly what to do when you're cutting around power lines.
It does feel overwhelming. I did have a quick question about the trees that fell over the main roadways. At one point where I was walking down the street, and like I said, this is right where the tornado started, just 100-year-old trees, tree after tree across the roads, and then power lines are down. And I'm thinking, how are the first responders, how are fire trucks, how are police officers, EMTs, able to reach people in need, hit the hardest if there are trees and power lines on all the roads?
Yep. That's why I say trees can be the first step. Like those trees that are in the roads, like you said, it could block very important help. Mm-hmm. So that night, people were out cutting trees, that's the first thing. You get them out of the road so all the first responders can get through. Then you get them off the power line so that Ameren can come and do what they need to do. Because 9 times out of 10, when you call Ameren, if that tree fell on your service line, not the back power lines, but on your line that goes from the house to the pole, they're going to tell you, okay, we need you to get the tree service out first to remove this obstacle so that we can come and reconnect you. And if you're like your weatherhead or your box that's on the outside of your house, if that was damaged, that's not something Ameren comes and fixes. You need an electrician to come out and do it. Those resources like that, those are other things that we are familiar with. And so if you get in contact with us, we will help you the whole way. Like if a tree falls on somebody's power line and it pulls their box down and everything, when I come, I'm not just going to remove the tree and say, all right, figure the rest out. You know, if I see any, if it fell on your roof, I'll refer you to some roofers. If it fell and broke down your power box, I'll refer you to an electrician. So, and I think any good contractor that you call out is going to do the same thing, right? And we have a lot of good contractors in St. Louis that's helping out.
There are supplies. We were talking about the masks earlier, and how important they are. If you go to the city's website, and somebody did text in,
right.
Somebody who lives in St. Charles wants to know how they can donate masks, and this is how. First, go to the city's website just so you can get information, stlewis-mo.gov/tornado. They are looking for tarps, 2x4s, lumber. They're looking by 4x8 sheets of plywood, wood screws, work gloves, and masks, and a couple of drop-off locations, Urban League on Kings Highway, the location there. They are taking donations of that stuff. The O'Fallon YMCA is taking donations as well. And 4144 Martin Luther King Drive, which is in the Ville neighborhood, or serves the Ville. Those are locations. But I would recommend going to stlewis-mo.gov/tornado, and you can get all of this information, anything you need to know where to take some of this stuff. And you guys are doing great work.
Thank you.
We love having you in. We love talking to you. It's unfortunate that it's after this, but it's awesome to see you guys. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Can I add one thing to that? Those things, that please donate those things to these communities. But also, if you have access to go on like Amazon or to order stuff online and get it overnighted, do a lot of that and get it in bulk, because Home Depot and the Lowe's, and they're selling
locally,
out of a lot of that stuff.
Oh.
And there are a lot of people that are going to those stores. Their only resource is to go to the store as opposed to ordering it.
Right.
And they're selling out. So if you're going to buy stuff in big bulk, order it into the city, you know, from outside of here, so that we'll have more here as opposed to depleting the stores. You get what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. That's like something that you wouldn't naturally think of.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have thought of that far ahead. So, okay, if you can order from Amazon, don't deplete the local stores.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeff and Pops Bailey with Green Thumb Tree Services and Econo Tree. Great work, guys. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album, or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers, or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a point of clarification here. I was mentioning the city's website. It is stlewis-mo.gov/tornado. And it might even be easy just to Google the city's website, go there, and then follow the links from there. But they are asking for supplies to donate tarps, 2x4 lumber, plywood, 4x8 sheets, wood screws, work gloves, and masks. And they have three locations where you can drop off this stuff. And one of the links, it's confusing. It says O'Fallon YMCA, but it's really O'Fallon Park. So O'Fallon Park is not O'Fallon, Missouri, or O'Fallon, Illinois, obviously. But O'Fallon Park is the O'Fallon Park Rec Complex. That's where you're supposed to take it. So this is north of the McKinley Bridge. It's pretty close to Bellefontaine Cemetery. So just to give you an idea of where you might want to take these things, and the Urban League, the location on King's Highway, and then the 4144 Martin Luther King Drive location, which serves the Ville neighborhood. So,
and the Ville, we were just looking. So that's where it turned into an EF3.
That's where it got really, yeah. Well, it was already bad before.
The whole thing is bad.
It strengthened to 3, yeah.
But that's right. As it made its way through Forest Park, through the Central West End, I think it was an EF2 there, and then it was an EF3 in North City, in the Ville, in Fountain Park. And so the extent of the damage is exponential. And so, yes, thank you for the donations. Thank you for the calls and the information. It was encouraging to the point of Jeff and Pops Bailey, in the midst of devastation and destruction, to see the community coming together and see neighbors helping neighbors. And you find hope and even joy in that.
Texter says, I know these gentlemen are businessmen, but there is a special place in heaven for these two.
And also, it was volunteer. You know, he was volunteering his time.
Another texter says, great story with Pops and son. So I would like to donate and order stuff on Amazon, but where do I have it shipped to? Do you have an address? Can I deliver it directly to their company? Because I can order masks and tarps for them. I live in Baldwin, don't go to the city much. So again, I think the best thing to do, and then find the resources from there, is to go to stlewis-mo.gov/tornadoes. I believe it's also on our website, kmox.com. I believe this link, the city link, is there. If you want to do it that way, it's just very easy. I would recommend Googling it, and you can find it and know where to donate this stuff, where to send it, or where to take it. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We'll take a break from this for just a moment. When we come back, we'll talk some Cardinals. Over the weekend, they took 2 of 3 from the Royals. They are home tonight against a very good Tigers team. And Matt Pauly, the host of Sports Open Line, joins us next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Driver from the belt, the pitch. Herrera swings and he drives it. That's deep left center field. That ball's going to get down. It goes to the wall. One run scores. Two runs are going to score. Here comes a third. The throw to the plate. It won't be there in time. A 3 RBI hit, a double for Herrera, and the Cardinals have the lead here of 6-2.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
And so the Cardinals go on the road. They take 2 of 3 from the Kansas City Royals, and now they are back home tonight. It's the Detroit Tigers in town, a team that leads their division by 5 games. The Detroit Tigers are 31-16. So this will be a tough one for the Birds in the next 3 nights at Busch. As the Cardinals are 5 games over 500, we welcome in Matt Pauly, host of Sports Open Line and the Redbird Rush Hour, which happens at 5 o'clock when Cardinals baseball does not get in the way. So there's going to be some Redbird Rush Hour today at 5, Matt.
There will be. And you buried the lead on the Tigers. Not only do they lead the division, they've got the best record in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, by 660.
They're 2 games better than both the Mets and the Dodgers. I mean, this is a team that's on fire right now.
I mean, they're going to let their guard down.
Hopefully.
That's what I think.
Well, I think they think,
oh, we're going to be okay. The Cardinals are struggling. They think that they're going to come in, get swept.
I mean, nobody's left from that 2006 Tigers team, so they probably don't have
It is 2025, so that would be pretty remarkable.
The horses aren't alive from Braveheart. You think anyone's there from 2006?
No, so they don't come in here thinking, oh my God, this is the worst place in the world.
No.
We're going to die.
That's why they're going to let their guard down. They don't know.
Right. You don't know anything about that. So,
anyway.
2 of 3 from KC. I mean, that's a team that had been playing well. At least the record reflects that they had been playing well for a lot of the season. So, look, the Cardinals are 4 games under 500 on the road. that's not ideal, but they have improved that record from where it was earlier in the year. So they're playing better away from home. It's nice to come back home, though, even though it's against the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the road record at all. I mean, they had that really, really tough start, and now since then, they split the four-game series against the Reds, which was good. They take 2 of 3 from the Phillies. They sweep the Nationals. They take 2 of 3 from the Royals. So the road record is completely fine, and they're playing good baseball on the road. And that's really tough. I mean, for them to go on a three-city road trip, and those are tough trips when you're gone for that long. And they played pretty strong baseball all the way till the end. So good to take 2 of 3 from Kansas City. Good to get back home. And this, like we said, this is a really good Detroit team they're going to match up against. The schedule has let up a bit for them, but not for these 3 days, as Detroit is a really good team, and they're going to face off against some good pitching over the course of this year. We'll see. You know, I guess the weather is the only thing that's a little bit of a thing here, and we'll see if that adjusts who they may see. But the fact that game two, you're going to see Tarik Skubal, and then it's going to be Jack Flaherty, who's scheduled to go on Wednesday, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of reception he gets from Cardinal fans. So I think it's going to be a fun few days.
What do you think that'll be?
I think it's going to be mostly cheers, because that's how Cardinals fans are, but there are definitely some people out there who do not like him. I'll be interested in like the crowd size overall.
Yeah.
I would guess the larger the crowd, the more cheers there are for Flaherty.
It's a day game, too.
It is a day game, which probably is not great in terms of attendance. But, yeah, I mean, look, it'll be good to see Jack Flaherty back. He had some really, really good moments for the Cardinals, obviously, and he had some not-so-great moments as well. But he's gone on, and he's really kind of been fixed, and he's put things together here over the last couple of years.
I think he's going to get a rousing round of applause.
Okay.
I think it's
going to
be. I think it's going to be 99.9% positive.
That's a lot. I don't know. I mean, there are still a lot of people who do not like Jack Flaherty.
Are they at the game, though?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Probably.
They're probably
Cardinal
just
fans.
On Twitter.
Yeah, they're probably just being mean on Twitter.
I mean, there's no reason to, like, boo the guy. He's,
I feel like, Matt's getting mad at me for this for this conversation. No, I there's not. I think Cardinals fans in the stadium tend to be pretty generous and kind, I think.
I would agree with that.
Well, look at us patting ourselves on our
Philly.
Back.
We're not throwing batteries at people. We're not booing Santa Claus.
You know, sometimes I kind of wish we were a battery throw in town.
Oh my gosh, don't say that.
It would really spicing it up, wouldn't it, Matt?
No, it would not.
Okay. I'm not condoning throwing batteries.
You better want to clarify that, you doofus.
I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying if it did happen, we'd be an exciting town, I think.
Matt, he is a
liability.
Quote
Chris Ronji, sometimes I wish we were a battery throwing town. I'm not condoning it. I wish for it, but I'm not condoning it.
I'm not telling you to do it.
There's a difference between wishing for something and condoning it.
I'm not telling you to do it. I'm
just
saying, wouldn't we be more fun if we were one of those kinds of towns?
No.
If we were the booing Santa Claus type? Throwing snowballs at the officials. What if we were that kind of town?
I'm glad we're not.
Yeah.
We've won more World Series not being that kind of town.
Well, that's not why we won.
I think it is. Anyway, I do think winning series, speaking of winning series, winning a series like going to Kansas City, winning 2 out of 3, coming home, to me, that feels like that slow climb to progress where you could put yourself in a really good position later in the season.
I mean, I think they're perfectly fine where they're at right now, and I don't know what's going to happen here. They're 2 games back of the Cubs. I've mentioned this a lot. The Cubs right now are playing a historically bad stretch of schedule. If you haven't, this is their from May 12th to June 5th. This is who they're playing. Excuse me. They're playing Miami, White Sox, Miami again, Cincinnati, Colorado, Cincinnati, Washington. So if the Cardinals don't keep up with the Cubs between now and June 5th, I'm not worried about it whatsoever because of who the Cubs are playing. But the Cardinals are in a good spot. If they just keep doing what they've been doing and play the style of baseball they've been playing, it's all going to be fine in the end.
Had a caller at the old sports station. You know what he would call that stretch of baseball, the teams they're playing? He'd call it hot garbage.
Hot garbage. All right.
Hot garbage. It is. They're really bad. They just swept the Sox, who are terrible.
Yeah.
So not getting any help from Miami. You're not going to get any help from Washington. So
and Miami just took 2 of 3 from Tampa. They're not going to win back-to-back series.
No, come on, man.
Yeah.
Because if they do, that'll start the turnaround.
Yeah.
For the Marlins.
Big time baseball renaissance down there in Miami happening.
When do they play the Rockies? Because that team is, oh, man.
Speaking of
terrible, that is an absolute trash fire.
Did you think that so soon after the White Sox embarrassing season that we would see a team that's even worse?
The Rockies have won 8 games.
What are they on pace to win?
They are 30-0 games under 500.
They deserve this. I worked in the Rockies organization for years. I was part of their AAA broadcast crew in Colorado Springs for a good number of years. So I had a front row seat to the dysfunction that is Colorado Rockies baseball. This is an organization that it's amazing. What's amazing is they do the dumbest things, yet they think they're the smartest organization in the world. It's remarkable. It's like somebody who's really drunk at night and like just thinks that they are the life of the party and everybody wants them to get out of there. They think they know what they're doing and they don't. I remember doing this interview once with this guy. He had no baseball experience whatsoever. I'm not going to say the guy.
Why? What does it matter? What's he going to do?
He's not in baseball anymore.
Oh.
I don't know. His experience in baseball had been like he was a ticketing intern with the Memphis Redbirds at one point, and then he literally like laid cable for like the power company, and now he's like he's a vice president of something 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 for the Rockies, and he's always in Colorado Springs, and he's always in the manager's office. So we would interview these people, and I would ask him baseball questions. I did like a 10 or 11 minute interview with him. I swear I'm not making this up. I can still find the interview. 8 or 9 times when I ask him a baseball question, he doesn't have an answer. So he looks at me and he says, at the end of the day, our job is to give Walt Weiss the ability to win a World Series in Denver. Like, that's all. They don't know what they're doing. They have people who have no clue what they're doing, yet they think they do. So, yes, this is a Rockies team that deserves everything that's happening to them right now.
Does this stem down from the owners, Chuck and Dick?
Yeah. So Dick Monfort is the guy who's really in charge there, and he made his money in like the meatpacking business, and he's independently wealthy. But he just, he's a terrible owner. He is a terrible owner. You know, during the pandemic, they fired all their clubhouse guys, and then they took their baseball analytics folks and sent them into the clubhouse, and literally were having them do laundry during the pandemic. So nothing against doing laundry. Like, that's not the point that I'm trying to make. But the point is they fired their clubhouse people and then made people who had a job doing something that's pretty important. Just forget about the analytics. We don't need that. But we do need our laundry done. So why don't you head to the clubhouse for these few months? I mean, it is remarkable the things that they do.
Okay. So I know that Walt Weiss was the manager between 2013 and 16. I'm going to find out who was in the front office other than Jeff Breidich. I think he was there. It might have been him. Yeah.
It was not Jeff Breidich, although I'm not a fan of his either.
Okay. All right. Well, Matt Pauly will be listening in to the Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock, then the pregame show at 5:50. First pitch, 6:45, Cardinals and Tigers tonight. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Sorry, I took it off the rails for Colorado Rockies talk.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
You can make your candles shine brighter by blowing out other people's candles.
Yes, you sure can. Do you know how bad you got to be 20 and a half games under 500 at this point of the year? Woof. It's the Chris and Amy Show. Glad to have you with us today. We are in the process of recovering from a storm that happened on Friday. We know more storms are coming into the area potentially tonight, so we'll be on the lookout for that. But right now, as we talk about this, the recovery effort, we bring in the founder of Steve's Hot Dogs, member of the band The Urge. Steve Ewing is with us on KMOX. His restaurant has been giving away meals, and a GoFundMe has been started to help victims of the storm. Steve, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
We're hanging in there. We're good.
Yeah, I know that you are helping to coordinate donations, volunteers, help, GoFundMe. People have reached out to see how they can help you, and you've turned around to help others as well. What do people need to know?
There's a lot of places you can go. You can go to our website at Steve's Hot Dogs STL. steveshottalks.com, get all the information there, or visit our Facebook page, or Steve's Hot Talks Facebook page. We have all the information there where we can guide you there. We've been here at the restaurant over here on Del Mar, just feeding people. So yesterday my partners and I were out here with you know, grills and just extra food for folks to come by and grab some food. We got about 500 meals out. Today we're going to come back through here again and set up. We have some food coming in from some other donors. So we're going to come out here today and just continue to just open up and feed people here. We have a big old courtyard area that people can kind of hang out. So if you need a place, safe place to be at. So we'll be over here on Del Mar in the Maker Complex just doing some food today.
How is the damage right there in that immediate area?
It is not good. So we're kind of the lucky ones. So on this strip of Del Mar, our area, our district got hit pretty hard, but further down it got hit even worse. And then like just to the north of us, on the north side of the street, there's a lot of houses that are destroyed. So yeah, it's pretty bad over here. And what's really bad is if you go further north, like I said, it just kind of picked up speed and it really got worse over that way.
Yeah, I did see with the Maker District, with the Craft Alliance, some of those nonprofits, along with the restaurants, as you mentioned, a lot of damage. I guess it goes without saying, that whole stretch of Del Mar, you guys are there with some food. Is everything else pretty much closed, or what else? What's the activity there right now?
There's zero activity, so yeah. Everything is closed. There's no power over here, so we're grilling with a propane grill. And food has been donated. So there's no power over here. There's no activity. So basically we just have cleanup crews and folks out here trying to board stuff up. So yeah, it's pretty dead.
Are people pretty easily able to get to you from those areas that were hit harder, like further east and further north, like they can access through the different roads where you are?
Yeah, if you're coming from the south on Kings Highway to Del Mar, you can definitely access it from that. You can access it from Union if you're coming through the park, even though it's going to be a little slow. But you can get to us. Like I said, if you're coming from up Kings Highway from the south, you can totally get to us.
So what do you want people, if they are, and I know a lot of folks listening want to know how they can help, what should they do?
Well, like I said, we have a lot of resources on the website. So if you go to the website, steveshotdogsstl.com, there's links you can click there for folks. Also, check our Facebook page for the GoFundMe and other information. There's city websites, which I can't off the top of my head, but the city websites are doing a great job of getting some information out on where you can exactly go in the city to donate food and things like that. For us, or right here, right now, our thing is to try to just get some food out to folks. That's what we do, is feed folks. We try to get some food out to people, water, things like that, if people need it in the area.
The website that Steve mentioned, the city website, is stlewis-mo.gov/tornado. It's a mouthful, yeah. But I would recommend just going to the city's website and you're going to find the link there for it, stlewis-mo.gov. So in terms of, before we say goodbye here, Steve, in terms of physical help, if people, I mean, are you asking for that too, for volunteers to come down?
Yeah, so as the days go by, we'll be asking for volunteers to help out, because this is going to take a while, and so we're going to be doing more effort-wise to get together with some of the other businesses here to see where we can help. Where now they're just digging out. So yes, we'll be definitely looking for help. So like I said, keep in tune with our socials. We're going to be updating all day and today, and we're just going to keep updating and keep on the website, and we'll kind of let you know where we're at. But right now, we're going to be over here this afternoon with food. So
great,
and we're at Del Mar and Union. So yes, if you're coming up from, like I said, if you're coming from Kings Highway, we're accessible. And actually, if you're coming up Union from through the park area, we're totally accessible.
Awesome. Founder of Steve's Hot Dog, Steve Ewing with us. We appreciate you. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you very much. You guys.
Thank you so much. That is Steve Ewing from Steve Hot Dogs. Next, we will have political commentator Chris Saliza with an update on some national news.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.